I turned 40 earlier this year in January, and this is the month of April. We're in the month of April, and this is the week that my dad would have been turning 70. I wanted to just kind of reflect for this episode, you know, with it being my dad's birthday coming up this week. This year makes 10 years removed from him and my parents passing. So it's been, you know, it's been a very interesting past 10 years.
Please meet my wife. She's here with me. Sweetheart, please stand up and turn around. Let them see what a woman looks like that is married to a handsome man.
That is Miles speaking to you.
Bro, that is...
No, that is weird.
Dog, I have goosebumps right now.
Like, wow.
What a freeze. I just wanted to share some principles and like some mindsets that we can put ourselves in to face adversity, or when we're facing adversity. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the new episode of the Miles High Podcast. This is Miles Jr., your host. As always, the vision and goal of this podcast is to entertain, educate, and elevate you miles high above your fears, your doubts, and any limitations that you may think exist, always knowing that those limitations only exist in your mind. All right? This is a special week, actually a special year, right? So I turned 40 earlier this year in January, and this is the month of April. We're in the month of April, and this is the week that my dad would have been turning 70 years old, right? He was 30 years older than me, so we have a 30-year gap between us. So this would have been one of those highlight years for him, turning 70. His birthday falls on 420, so 420 has a different meaning for me than for some of y'all out there. But, you know, just this, I wanted to just kind of reflect for this episode, you know, with it being my dad's birthday coming up this week. You know, we're 10 years, this year makes 10 years removed from him and my parents passing. So it's been, you know, it's been a very interesting past 10 years, to say the least. You know, going through a range of emotions, developing and growing as an individual. You know, I got married within these 10 years, started a life with my wife, a bit. And, you know, I wanted to use this episode to reflect. And I wanted to talk about resiliency. Right? Resiliency through adversity. I think, you know, a lot of us go through a lot of adversity in our lives, you know, whether it be personally, professionally. You know, we experience these ups and downs, these ebbs and flows of life. And, you know, I think what I discovered about myself was how resilient I really am. And even when I didn't think that I was a resilient person, you know, I realized that I was, and I just wanted to share some principles and like some mindsets that we can put ourselves in, to face adversity, or when we're facing adversity, you know. So I said, you know, 10 years ago, I had the biggest shift in my life that I've ever had, right? Losing my parents. And, you know, those range of emotions that I went through, right, during the time where, you know, we were dealing with the debt right after they died, and, you know, going through the funeral services, and, you know, everything, because of who my dad was, you know, there was a lot going on, right? There were a lot of ceremonies that we had to attend, and then in addition to him and my mother, there were, you know, my uncle had passed, and a lot of our family friends were a part of the group as well. So going through all of those homegoing services, you know, there was a range of emotions that I went through, right? Just dealing with the acceptance of, man, you know, this is reality for me. Then going into the following year, 2015, you know, everyone was emotional at the time, and people wanted to, you know, pay homage to my dad and my mom. So there were all of these invitations that I was getting to, you know, attend this celebratory service or, you know, attend this event, and all of these things that they wanted to do. And, you know, I know people mean well and meant well, but it takes a toll. You know, it takes an emotional toll. So I went through quite the range of emotions, you know, just wanting to balance, you know, understanding the honor that people wanted to pay, but also trying to, you know, deal with my emotions on a personal level. And, you know, 10 years removed this year, I can say that it's been a journey, right? I actually don't remember much of 2015. I always tell people 2015 was a blur for me. Like, honestly, it was a blur. There were things that happened and, you know, conversations that I had, people that I met that I, like, quite frankly, don't remember. And I know that's because of, you know, the emotional state that I was in. I struggled with acceptance. I struggled with my faith. I struggled with just, you know, accepting the reality that I was placed in. It was a difficult time. It was something that I didn't expect and thought I wasn't prepared for, right? Thought I wasn't prepared for, but realized, you know, in hindsight that I was prepared for. And that's because I had some pivotal moments leading up to that point, right? And two of the pivotal moments, well, two of them kind of bleed into one, right? But this pivotal moment for me was actually before my parents passed, right? It was when my uncle passed, my dad's brother, right? So my grandmother, my dad's mother passed maybe 4 or 5 months earlier. And then my uncle unexpectedly passed. Like my grandmother was sick, and she was sick for quite some time. So I wouldn't say that her passing was a surprise. And I think, like, you know, the family had some time to prepare. You know, I was very young then, but I just remember, like, she had been ill for a while. But when my uncle passed, that was unexpected. That was something that, you know, no one was ready for. He passed in an automobile accident. And I just remember the toll that his death had on my dad. Like, him and my dad were close. They were, you know, one right after the other. His name was Paul. And for some reason, like, they used to call my dad Peter, right, when he was young. And Peter wasn't even my dad's name, right? My dad's name is Miles E. Monroe. And for some reason, like, family and friends, you know, in the neighborhood back when he was younger, used to call him Peter. And to this day, up until when he passed, you know, people used to still refer to him as Peter. Even he didn't realize his name wasn't Peter until, like, much later in his life, which is pretty weird. So they were known as Peter and Paul, right? Obviously, biblical characters, biblical individuals, I should say, not characters. But, you know, they were very close. Him and my dad had a really special relationship. And so when he passed, it really affected my dad. And I've never seen my dad affected by death, by someone dying in the way that he was affected by his brother dying. And I just remember it being, like, super hard on him. You know, keep in mind, his mother had passed a few months earlier. And that was difficult for him too, but not as difficult as when his brother died. And I remember, you know, his healing process and him coming out of, you know, that grieving period. You know, he did a few teachings, and in one of those teachings, he said something that had really changed my perspective on life, right? He was talking about how he was dealing with the death of his brother and the death of his mother, you know, pretty much one right after the other, and how much of a toll it had affected him, and, you know, the battle that he had with God, and, you know, asking why and how could you let this happen, and, you know, all of these emotions that you kind of go through. And he said that, you know, he started to realize, or not confirm that, you know, we have no control on this earth, right? We have no control over death. We have no control over things that we don't have control over. You know, the only things we can control is what we can control, and that's what we need to be concerned with, right? And, you know, going on through the teaching, he just started to say, man, he started to just accept that he needs to be prepared for unexpected things to happen in his life. So, you know, he said, man, you know, I've buried my wife, you know, a number of times in my head. Now, I think at the time, like I was a teenager at the time. So hearing him say that, first of all, it was shocking, right? Because my old lady was very much alive. And for him to say that he buried her a number of times in his head. So, you know, he was like, you know, so she could pass and I'll be good because, you know, I'm prepared. You know, I've walked myself through the service. I've walked myself through, you know, the emotions of our family moving on and, you know, what I would say and how I would move forward. He prepared himself. He has mentally prepared himself for that unexpected moment to happen. He didn't wish it to happen. You know, let me just say that. Let me make that clear. But he thought about it, right? He was mentally preparing himself. And that the principle behind that, I think, is just preparation, right? Preparing yourself for the unexpected. So that was a very pivotal moment in my life. Now, I didn't realize it at the time, right? It was just something that stood out to me. I cataloged it in my subconscious and, you know, kind of moved on with life, right? So I didn't really pay too much attention to it. You know, he said it a few times after that. But it was something that caused me to think. Like, I really was like, maybe I should start preparing myself for death. But it wasn't like preparing myself for like any particular person's death, right? Again, I was young. You know, didn't expect anyone close or like family related to die, especially like my parents or my sister or whatever. So it was just like one of those pivotal moments where you are introduced to a thought or an idea and it resonates with you. And that's kind of where like my mentality started to shift when it came to death. You know, when we talk about resilience and, you know, where I am now and how I've seen growth in myself, I've seen growth in individuals around me. I just think about the word resilience, right? And I realize that it's not natural for us to feel like we can be resilient, right? Especially when we're going through adversity. But I wanted to start with defining resilience, right? And resilience is the capacity to withstand or recover quickly from difficulty or adversity. And, you know, I think the more prepared we are, and as controversial as that may seem, right? Because, you know, who says prepare yourself for death, right? Or for someone else dying around you. But the more prepared we are, the more resilient we're able to be, right? Because mentally, you know, we've kind of gone through the process, or at least thought about the process at some point. But going through my periods or my process to resiliency, you know, there were some psychological aspects of resiliency that I was dealing with, right? So there were coping mechanisms. For me, my coping mechanisms were my support system. You know, that was family, that was friends. That was a close knit of people that was around myself and my family at the time. And it really, really brought me through 2015. One in particular was a friend of mine, Andretti Bain. He was a guest on the pod. He was the Olympian who, you know, transitioned into training. And I just remember during that period of my parents passing and us going through, you know, all of those emotions and events and stuff, I remember Dreddy coming to me and he was like, yo, let's start working out. Now, I was an avid gymmer at the time, right? And I, you know, just as I do today, go to the gym just about every day, well, you know, 4 to 5 times a week on a consistent basis. But at that time, because of what I was going through, like I just couldn't bring myself to go to the gym, couldn't bring myself to work out, or couldn't bring myself to be around people, I should say. I wanted a bit of seclusion. And, you know, Dreddy came to me and was like, yo, bro, I want to help you with working out, right? And I think he knew or had to know that, you know, this was something that was good to do, like, during these kind of times, right? Some type of physical activity. And he offered, you know, his services to me free of charge. And you know, from we started, I think we started like early 2015 or maybe late 2014. Can't really remember. But I worked out with him for like 4 to 5 years straight. You know, my wife, she and I were dating at the time, and you know, she was a part of it. And it was a group of us who became like family, you know, and that support system really helped me and encouraged me through those periods, right? And then other friends, other family members, you know, that we really kind of became much closer through that entire process, right? Because, you know, my parents was something different to each one of my friends and family members. So us being able to hold on to, you know, that impact that they both had on our lives and be able to have conversations about it and, you know, just kind of encourage each other through the process, you know, that really helped. So that support system was really good. And then it was my mindset, right? You know, coming through this process, you know, I developed an optimistic mindset. Like if you knew me before that time, I wouldn't say I was pessimistic. I was more of a realist, right? I always tried to connect to reality, right? I didn't get too high, I didn't get too low. I guess it's like, yo, life is what it is, and you know, just take it as it comes. But I became I became a little more optimistic, just optimistic about the situation. Like, man, this has to make sense. What we're going through and things that we go through, you know, it's for a purpose. It's on purpose, right? And you know, there we have to look at the bigger picture. As difficult as it may be, you know, as hard as it may seem at the time, like as you go through the process and go through that adversity, you have to be optimistic. And I found myself just coming into this mind state of optimism and just being as positive as I could be, you know, throughout the situation. And it led me to find a sense of purpose in everything, right? So all the things that I started to do at that time, like I started to find myself, because when my parents passed, man, I was confused. I really didn't know, like, man, what's the next step? Like, what do I do now, right? Because I was working with my dad. I was doing stuff directly with him on a daily basis. So when you remove that big piece to the puzzle, at least what I thought was the puzzle of my life, it was a bit discouraging, right? And I just was confused, a bit lost, you know, didn't really know how to find my way. But, you know, just being optimistic, you know, and, you know, holding on and grabbing onto the support system that was around me, I started to gradually find a sense of purpose for myself. And it led me to do, you know, everything that I'm even doing now, right? So we started our Explore Africa tour at the time. I started our MEL conference at the time. I decided to continue to do our Holy Land Kingdom experience and, you know, really focus in on continuing to develop the message of the kingdom and with the resources that we had, you know, to continue to make them available to allow people to be exposed to this kingdom mindset. And all of that came from a sense of purpose, right? And all of that came from me continuing to be optimistic and have a positive mindset throughout this entire process. But it was a lot to deal with. Emotionally, you know, I was processing, you know, depression, suicidal thoughts, you know, all of these things that you go through when you deal with, you know, a tough loss. You know, your loss may not be what mine was, right? It may not be death. It could be like losing a spouse or losing a child or losing your job or your business going belly up. You know, whatever that is, like there is a state of emotions that we go through, a process of emotions that we have to deal with, right? We have to go through the process. And, you know, I wasn't, I've said this before, I wasn't suicidal, right? I don't think I ever contemplated committing suicide, but I was able to empathize way better than I was before of like why people have those thoughts. Because you honestly get to a point where it's like, man, what's the point? Like this structure, this family structure that I was so used to and accustomed to has, you know, just unexpectedly been destroyed. And you know, I don't know which way is up at this moment. And like, what's the point? But man, it takes some resiliency to get through that, right? Well, it takes a lot more than resiliency, but it, you know, being resilient in those moments is important. And, you know, a lot of people ask me, man, how did you adapt? How did you get through this process? How are you able to be here today and have the mindset that you have? And it's because I took some practical steps during that time, you know, between 2015 and now. You know, I really sat down. One of the first things that I did, and I just did my personal SWOT, right? SWOT, my personal SWOT. And SWOT is simply, for my business minds out there, you guys are familiar with this, but the SWOT is simply your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, and your threats. I sat down and I literally wrote those out. I wrote the things that I was strong at, the skill sets that I had. I made a list of my weaknesses and things that I struggled with. I identified, you know, different opportunities that were present for me, whether it was personal opportunities or professional opportunities. I identified them. And then I highlighted my threats. And threats isn't anything that's threatening to me personally, or like physically or anything. It's more so threats that would hinder me from being able to progress in my development as an individual or progress in my professional development. So just identifying, you know, and those threats could be like, you know, certain relationships or certain environments that I would have been in, or a certain mindset that I may have had. So just kind of identifying all of those individual items, right? That SWOT analysis I personally did for myself. It really allowed me to understand who I was at the time, right? Things I did well, the things I needed to work on, the things I needed to remove myself from, the people I needed to remove myself from, the environments I needed to remove myself from, and then the things that could hinder my progress in doing all of this. And I think that was, you know, one of the most important things that I could have done at the time that helped me in pivoting, you know, during that time. And then I sought some professional help. And this professional help can come in a number of different ways, right? You can see a therapist, you can see a psychiatrist. You know, we've had those conversations on the pod before. But I identified mentors and professional mentors in different areas of life that I wanted to be better in. I connected with one of the pastors at BFM who really helped me through the grieving process. I connected with one of my business mentors and financial mentors who, you know, helped me navigate the various business decisions that I had to make. I had a legal mentor who, you know, he's still my legal mentor today, you know, dealing with all the legalities that I was going through at the time as well. The help that I sought, you know, professional help that I sought, or people that were professionals that were able to help me in a number of areas, right? So I've never been to a therapist, but, you know, my wife and I, we talk about this all the time, and it's something that I think is important. And I do see the advantages in going through it, right? And it's something that I'm still considering, right? So something I still think could benefit me in some way, because I know a lot of people, you know, they don't really take well to the thought of, like, you know, talking to someone about your issues or your problems. And, you know, to each his own, right? I lean on more on the side to say that I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing to seek professional help, whatever that professional help is. But those are the major two things that I did to adapt, to pivot, you know, during that moment in my life, right? And through that process, I started to develop these coping strategies. And the three I want to highlight for myself that really assisted me in bringing me through the process was, the first was, I allowed myself to feel and express emotions, especially as men. Like, there's this stigma of, like, we have to be tough, we have to play, like, you know, nothing can harm us, nothing affects us, like, we don't cry, we're not emotional. But I allowed myself to go through those emotional times, right? Whether it's, you know, crying, whether it's being upset, whether it's like cursing, I was so upset at God, like cursing him and being like, yo, why? Like, just explaining to me, like, why is this happening? What's the point, right? And allowing myself to go through those emotions and being vulnerable in conversations, right? Conversations with my wife, conversations with friends, conversation with mentors, you know, going through those emotions. And as I had those conversations, if emotions came up, whatever type of emotion it was, allowing those emotions to surface, right? Because a lot of times, especially as men, we tend to subdue our emotions, right? And not express them. And that only builds up inside of us and causes us to have this outburst that, you know, we could avoid, or that could be detrimental to us or people around us, that, you know, if we allow ourselves to find a good avenue to express those emotions and feel those emotions, you know, it could better us as individuals, or could allow us to gain some advantage in coming through the process, you know, that process of adversity that we're going through. The second thing is, you know, talked about this already, physical activity. You know, I really worked on my health and fitness, right? I went extra hard in that area. And it's always been, you know, a vice for me. It's always been a place where I can express and de-stress myself, right? So physical activity was something that was important. And then I think the most important thing that I did, the most important coping strategy that I adopted was setting boundaries. I cannot tell you how important it is to set boundaries when you're going through adversity, or when you're coming through adversity, right? And those boundaries could be anything, right? There are boundaries that we can set on our finances. Like, look, we got to lock down. I can't do too much, right? I got to be disciplined and focused in like this financial aspect or area of my life. I set boundaries to persons that I allow in particular circles, set boundaries to conversations that I have, set boundaries to me saying yes or no, right? I was intentional about setting my boundaries. And I think that was like one of the most important things, because initially, you know, people was asking me to do all sorts of things. And I was, because I felt so obligated, I felt this sense of obligation just to, you know, like be accommodating to people, even though I was going through something, right? And, you know, they knew this, and I knew they meant well, but, you know, just feeling like, man, they want to do this thing, or they want to offer this thing, or, you know, whatever the case was, they want me to get involved in this business or that business or whatever. You know, I felt an obligation to say yes. And once I realized that, man, I can't continue to do this. I can't continue to put myself in these situations and environments and things that were just making it worse for me personally. So I had to set boundaries. And, you know, that I think that coping mechanism really helped me in to even quicken my development, because once I started to say no, or once I started to set these boundaries, people naturally fell off, right? Because they realized, like, okay, I can't get him to do what I want anymore, or I can't take advantage of him anymore. Because, you know, there are people always going to be optimistic. I mean, opportunists, you know, for whatever situations. And those, you know, setting those boundaries, I think, is really important when we're talking about, like, being resilient and being able to come through, you know, these adversities that we go through in life. So, you know, going through all of that, you know, what did I learn? You know, I learned that adversity is the catalyst for growth, right? The biggest growth spurts that we experience in life are those spurts where we're going through the greatest adversities. There's so much we learn about ourselves during hard times, during times where, you know, things come up that are unexpected, things come up that we didn't anticipate, didn't prepare for. You know, I learned that, man, I needed certain things to happen, right? I needed to go through this process to figure out who I was, learn a lot about myself, to be confident in. Now be confident in the decisions that I make and why I make those decisions, whether it's yes or no, whether it's good or bad. Understanding, like, man, this is a process that all of us have to go through. And, you know, I think every time or every situation that we go through that isn't the easiest, I think we should look for the lesson in each situation. And that's what I learned, man. That's this this process, these last 10 years has taught me that, you know, adversity, we need adversity. We need adversity to grow. Now, there are times where we can grow through good times, right? And we can go through just learning or through a development process. But the biggest growth spurts, right? We learn to dig deeper into ourselves when we don't think we can go any deeper, you know, into who we are and into what we are and why we are. So going through all of these obstacles and disappointments in life, it really helps us to discover ourselves, discover our full self, right? We chip at every layer, you know, each year that goes by. And sometimes we're able to chip, you know, a big piece of the boulder that we're chiseling to develop into the person that we're supposed to be developing into because of the adversities that we go through. And then, you know, that those lessons just led me to, you know, curate platforms like this where I'm able to empower others. And that's kind of the culmination of like what these last 10 years have been for me. I realized what I went through, discovered the resiliency that I had, and just, you know, wanted to help. Because I know like everything that I go through, everything that you go through, we're not the only persons going through those situations. We're not the only persons going through those hard times in life, right? And there are others that are going to experience those things or are currently experiencing those things. And if I can lend a voice of hope, if I can lend, you know, some lessons in resiliency where you can pull yourself through, then I'm going to do just that. I'm going to tell you and give you the principles that I've used, that I've adapted to, that I've pivoted with through these trying times in my life, so that you can do the same, so that you can come out on the other side. Because there's resiliency in all of us, right? We just have to tap into it. It takes some of us longer. It takes some of us going through harder situations to discover and develop that resilient person that lingers inside of us. But if I could assist, if I could empower you to do that, you know, that's something that I choose to do and that I want to do. You know, the best way to build resiliency is to prepare yourself for adversity. And like I said, I think preparation is key, right? So even now going through this process, you know, I've prepared myself mentally for my wife not being here, right? Prepared myself mentally for losing my kids.
Don't kill me yet.
Don't kill me. Oh, man. But you should do the same.
No. We're different.
We different?
I'm not as resilient.
So you ain't gonna prepare, yourself for me not to be up?
No, baby.
Okay, I'm still working on my wife.
Please, it's work in progress.
But I've really prepared or started to prepare myself for these different things that could possibly happen, right? I've prepared myself to lose family members, prepared myself to lose friends, because the things that we can't control on this earth, we can't pay no mind to, we can't worry about, right? We only can control what we can control, and what we can control is our preparation. So I think being prepared is most important.
So you keep saying, you know, that this has been about resiliency, but I do think that there are other things that, you know, helped you get through this entire 10-year process, and I think you haven't pointed out that you have a very strong faith. Mm-hmm. Like, your faith, in my opinion, is you are one of the strongest people with a strong faith that I've ever met. And I think that has really been able to carry you. And there's a saying that people always say, you never know how strong you are until you have to be strong. And I think that was your situation completely. And I think that your parents always knew who you were. They always saw this person in you, because you would always say how your dad would call you up to do certain things and you didn't think that you would be ready. And when the time came, you was ready. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it was always in you. It just needed to be pulled out. So I feel like everything that you went through, you were always prepared for. You know, I think your parents did a great job in preparing you for that. So, you know, I think it is resiliency, but I also think that you were in some ways born for this.
Yeah, and you know, that's true. You know, I didn't have the faith I have today. I didn't have at the time. And I think the resiliency, or the process that I went through, right, built my faith. I had faith, and I wanted stronger faith. And I mentioned it, I think maybe my last part or two parts ago, that I asked God, you know, I wanted to be strong in my faith, and I wanted you to strengthen my faith, make my faith as big as my dad's faith was. And this is the process that he had me go through.
Yeah, but I still think that even in the beginning, because, you know, people who were here from the beginning, they could see the progress and track the progress. But even in the very beginning, when we started to put on programs and do things, you would ask me about things and to do things. And I'd be like, well, what? Like, how are we going to make this happen? Like, suppose nobody come. And like, you were still adamant about doing certain things. And it was like, but I don't know if nobody gonna show up. So from the very beginning, I feel you always had a level of faith that surpassed a lot of people.
No, for sure. And you know, I think that also comes with a sense of purpose, right? I was honed in on really figuring out or finding a path to bring this vision that I saw from inside of me, that was purpose led. And I think, you know, that coupled with, you know, my faith, the fact that I had a positive mindset, you know, all of that made me the resilient person that I feel that I am. And even, you know, every process that I go through, every adversity that I face, you know, it's easier now, obviously, because, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's okay, let's figure out how we can get through this. You know, I'm going through something right now where and this isn't even half as bad as what we were talking about. But, you know, it's just all of these things that we go through and we don't understand why. Like, it comes out the blue and it's like, man, how, like, why is it up to happen? Like, everything was going good and boom, you're faced with, it could be, you know, something minor, right? Something minor as, you know, you lost a passport or lost a wallet or your car stopped working, right? And it comes with you not being able to get around like you wanted to, or having to spend unexpected money, or tap into a savings fund that you save, like it could be a medical issue. All of these adversities that we face, I think just being prepared, or mentally being prepared, right? However that preparation happens for you, I think it will allow you to hopefully get through that adversity a lot quicker, a lot faster. Anything else, babe?
I think that's it.
Good. All right, man. Well, that's what I wanted to share, right? My, you know, this 10-year period, this process that I went through, it's brought me to this point, right? Wanting to empower others and you know, talk about the things that I've been able to internalize and develop myself and the principles that I've used, in hopes of, you know, sharing that with you for you to do the same. All right. Brings us to the portion of the pod where I leave with you a milestone. And this milestone for today is a quote by Maya Angelou, right? And that quote is, "We may encounter many defeats, but we must not be defeated." You know, we're going to go through a lot of hard times in life, but don't let the hard times define who we are, right? Let us define the hard times, right? And let's be resilient in every aspect of our lives through every process that we go through, all right? Well, that brings us to the end of this pod. This was a one of reflection, right? Just going, looking over the these last 10 years of my life. Want to send a special heavenly birthday shout out to my dad, who would have been 70 this week, this coming Saturday, I think. Yep, the 20th of April. Hoping that, you know, he is enjoying the celebration that he is having throughout this week. So yeah, thank you guys. Hopefully this was an inspiration or empowering to you. I appreciate your, sorry, this computer got on just now.
What is, what, that's Shara, that's the new computer, oh my God. Oh my God. Y'all don't know how weird that is.
That gave me goosebumps just
now. Y'all don't know how weird that is. This computer is not working. That is Miles speaking to you.
Bro, that is weird. Dog, I have goosebumps right now.
Like, wow.
What a freeze.
Wait, I was like, who computer is that?
What a freeze.
Oh my goodness. Wow. What a way to end a boy.
I don't even know where to pick up from.
You just gotta run that straight through.
Should we keep that?
Yes. That is signs and wonders.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Anyway, that was weird. I've been having computer problems, and the fact that my computer just cut on out of nowhere just now. My computer hasn't cut on for the past couple of days. Like, that's facts. But anyway, as always, the purpose of this pod is to entertain, educate, and elevate you miles high above your fears, your doubts, and any limitations that you may think exist, always knowing that those limitations only exist in your mind. Y'all be blessed.